I won't let anything happen to her.
What do you say you and me take a walk over to the tavern?
Let's pull up a chair.
A little something to eat.
Welcome to the Mouse and Castles.
Come on, Johnny, what are we waiting for?
This is a gathering place for fans of all things Disney. So sit back,
chow down,
have some sips, and chit-chat about the magical world created by Walt Disney.
Too long I've been parched of thirst and unable to quench it.
Oh, hey, how's it going, everybody? Hey, that's a character from Moana, get it? It was an inadvertent Moana reference. Get it? Hey, great. Aaron Goins just—he just hung up, ladies. Oh, really? I legitimately thought you might have just hung up, and that was going to be it, and then just be me for the whole episode. Hey, Aaron Goins, how's it going, man?
Pretty good. Ooda Lolly. I heard it that in the intro, and I forgot that we had some Robin Hood content in the intro.
Yes. Wait, it's basically like anything that I was trying to build that intro when we first did this show, which honestly the first discussions about Mouse and Castle being a thing started happening about a year ago. We're coming up on it, man. It's crazy.
Are we?
I remember building the intro and be like, just trying to find any reference to food. And then I was like, but I really like Robin Hood. So I just threw in an Ooda Lolly.
Nice. Yeah, I actually was just watching Robin Hood.
Oh, no way.
Right before we started recording.
Look, just getting in the mood. I haven't started yet, but I'm going to watch Toy Story 2 and 3, which I've not seen. I've only seen the first Toy Story, in preparation for Toy Story 4, which is this weekend, right? Or next weekend? I think it's this weekend.
I should probably do the same thing because I have seen the other Toy Stories, but I think I've seen Toy Story 2 one time and Toy Story 3 one time.
Which, and then I looked on the Rotten Tomatoes and Toy Story 2 is like 100%. Is it evidently like a great movie? I had no idea.
It just depends on what you think, I guess. I don't know. I've never been a huge fan of the Toy Story franchise, and I know that's not a super popular opinion.
Well, hey, at least you've seen them, so.
I have seen them, yes. But I do want to kind of do a rewatch before the next one comes out.
Yeah, no, I think that'll be good. There's a lot of Disney stuff going on.
They had a trailer for the new Pixar movie too, which we haven't talked about, and we don't have it slated to talk about today. Either,
I don't even
so we should
have
probably
it.
Get that in.
We probably should. Let you tell you what. Let's do it right after our Frozen trailer breakdown, because that's right, ladies and gentlemen, you're here. It's the Mouse and Castle podcast. Just about an hour or so of Disney talk. Just two guys who love Star Wars, like the dude on the other show said. We had a nice shout out. I put it on our Instagram from another podcast. But yeah, man, I am excited. We're going to preview our upcoming trip this weekend today, as you listen to the podcast, probably, Aaron and I will be en route to Disneyland once again. The last time we were there was in December. So right at 6 months later, we return, to go to Galaxy's Edge. And so we're going to do a quick preview, and I thought it'd be kind of fun. Aaron, I know you're probably more on top of, I know we've covered it ad nauseum here on the show, but in terms of prioritizing, I was just going to kind of touch base with you on what you think are must-see, what's a must-see, and what might we have to skip on our journey out to Galaxy's Edge this weekend.
Are we going to get to that, or you want me to tell you now?
Oh, we're going to get to that. We're also going to talk about the Aladdin. I have thoughts and some of the box office fallout, as well as, of course, the Frozen trailer and the new Pixar trailer, which has barely crossed my radar. I don't know why. You would think I would have seen it. I actually haven't seen the trailer yet, so I'll watch it here.
We can save it for like next episode. I was just mentioning that it's out there.
You know what, man, though? We'll be talking so much Galaxy's Edge and stuff in the next episode. I say we'll see where the wind takes us. You never know.
Go.
That discussion could just pop up like a weird demon bubble horse in the middle of the ocean and just do that. So we're talking about it all here on Mouse and Castle. So thank you so much. If you're listening, appreciate it. Share the show with your Disney friends. And we continue to grow every week. And it's thanks to you guys listening. So I just wanted to give that shout out right at the beginning of the episode. And while I'm thinking about it, I'm actually currently writing this week's edition of the Mouse and Castle newsletter. So make sure you go to bit.ly/mouseandcastle and get to our newsletter. The button's also on our website, but you can get to our weekly newsletter as well. So I figured we often just go straight into it. So I thought I'd just, you know, a little quick update on the show itself. But let's talk about it. Aladdin, I've seen it. Actually, I saw it the day after we recorded with my mom and my girlfriend Savannah out here in Sumter, South Carolina. I just got stationed out here with the Air Force, so I was in the middle of moving, which is why I was delayed. In fact, I was recording from the road for the last episode as you gave your opinion, Aaron. And I just wanted to touch base with you and basically just say, like, you're right. I agree. it's kind of boring content for the podcast, but it was really good. I really enjoyed everything about it. I love how they were very intentional.
Riley's
with
review.
I know. It's thumbs up. That's right. I like Disney, guys. Come back to the podcast next week where I talk about how I like Disney. Or like, or if you listen to my Star Wars show, you can get more of my shillery. Oh, gosh. But no, Aladdin, I will say this about it. It was Will Smith's kind of hip-hoppy performance that gave it enough uniqueness to where it kind of stood on its own two legs. I was talking to our mutual friend, Scott Rifen. And he was in the voiceover artist for our illustrious intro. And talking to him about it, because he was not as much a fan, but mostly because he was very much liked the Robin Williams and just kind of didn't like the... He wasn't sold by Will Smith, whereas you and I obviously were. And I think, but he had a good point of, if they were going to go Will Smith, they should have gone full Will Smith and not reused any Robin Williams gags. Because they definitely cut out a bunch of them. I actually went back and I was listening to some of the original performances of like Friend Like Me and that sort of thing, and clips from the movie, and just how infused that original movie is with pop culture references. And they get rid of most of them. But I thought it would have... I think there was room to go that last mile and just completely reinvent the character.
I see where you're coming from, but I actually saw it two more times. So I've seen this movie three times.
That's unusual for you.
That is unusual for me, especially for a live-action Disney movie. But I was kind of thinking the same thing, that they reused a lot of the jokes. But then when I rewatched it, I was kind of trying to count them in my head as they were happening. And I was thinking, you know what? They really didn't. There was like two or three that kind of stood out to me that were kind of jokes that weren't written into the lyrics of the song. Because some of it, it's like you have to do it because it's in the song.
Yeah.
But some of the other stuff, he reused a couple of Robin Williams gags, but really not overly. I mean, if you rewatch the animated film, Robin Williams just like, he's just nonstop.
Yeah.
With like his little character references and his imitations of real people and all that stuff. I mean, you have like Arsenio Hall.
Yeah.
On Clint Eastwood that Will Smith didn't even touch.
Yeah. No, that's true.
So I thought, like, for me, I liked the references, like one or two references to jokes that I remembered from the animated film, but then a lot of original stuff from Will Smith as well. I thought it was a nice blend.
Yeah. No, I think, I kind of side more with you on that one, although, and I think that's where they definitely, I think, went enough in the direction of giving Will Smith enough creative freedom to lock in the film in a unique way. I didn't realize how much the end had kind of changed. They really, because I went back and I didn't watch the original, but I was watching some clips on YouTube, and like you say, a lot of Robin Williams rapid pace pop culture references. There are like whole YouTube videos that basically caption each reference. There's so much stuff I didn't even know or get when I watched it growing up. So that was pretty cool. And the other thing about it is it has continued. Not only did it have a good opening weekend, but it's been out a few weeks now. I pulled up this piece from The Motley Fool. We'll link to it in the show notes. But it's not doing too bad. It's the first Disney movie to come out since Avengers Endgame, which is might, I think it hasn't quite, but might beat Avatar. Gosh, I hope it does. Beat Avatar as the highest grossing movie of all time. So its predecessor is quite a, it's quite a lead in that they have, but it's 19 days as we're recording this. This post is from this morning actually, but 19 days into its release, It's about 240 million here in the U.S., 375 million overseas, bringing it to a grand total of $615 million, putting it in that general, like, approaching billion range. Now, so by the time it gets to the end of its run, I could see it getting up to about 700, which is just it's a solid number for Disney, especially when a lot of the buzz around here, and especially with, I think, some of the more negative reviews around the movie, thought that this could be the first kind of live-action dud. And I know we talked about how successful it was opening weekend, but it's just like another solid entry. And it seems to have legs. It's actually stayed pretty well week to week in the box office. And Aaron, you're kind of proof of that with the sort of rewatchability factor as well.
Yeah, and I kind of like completely flipped my opinion, because you knew going into this movie, Will Smith was my big issue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then by the third time I saw it, I was bored until he came on screen. Like, until he came on screen as a genie.
Yeah.
I was kind of bored with the beginning of the movie. I had already seen it a couple times. I was like, okay, when does Will Smith come? So it's like I flipped completely on him basically being, for me, essential for that movie to be entertaining.
Yeah.
And I still found myself thoroughly entertained even after the third time seeing it. Speaking of the box office, how did Beauty and the Beast do?
It was obscene. It was their most successful. I don't remember the exact numbers. It was well over a billion though. So let's see, Beauty and the Beast.
Get those numbers, because I'm curious, because I have a theory on these live action movies.
Let's see, $1.264 billion.
Wow. Okay.
Whew.
Yeah, I think there's certain,
that's global, obviously. Oh, so, and by comparison, Frozen was about the
that
same.
Is a little...
Oh, sorry. Oh, we lost.
I was just saying, I think there's a certain era of Disney that's a little bit more nostalgic.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Little Mermaid, and Lion King are kind of like those four movies that I think all four of those movies are going to do really well at the box office, because
yeah,
they just have that like nostalgia built in that, you know, some of these other ones are going to do okay live action wise, but those four titles, no matter what, should really make a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's domestic was 504, foreign 759. For Beauty and the Beast, but just like a quick comparison to, so Aladdin's probably going to approach about 700. Frozen was another 1.2 billion. So Frozen, the Beauty and the Beast re-release, Jungle Book, I remember, was about a billion, like 900. Cinderella it sounds more like this is a Cinderella. Cinderella, when it came out, the remake made 543. So it looks like it's on pace to it's going to outpace Cinderella. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see as it unfolds. And of course, this is all just a preview of like Toy Story 4 hits, and I'm sure that's going to be huge. And then Lion King hits. And so we'll see. This is just going to be probably another year of Disney again reigning king of the box office. But that's just kind of what they do these days.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Galaxy's Edge, Aaron. So we're going this weekend, and we've talked a lot about it. We've seen Oga's Cantina, Savvy's Workshop, the Droid Building, the Smuggler's Run, all the various restaurants. This is partially, I think, good content for the show, but if I'm being honest, more than half of this is because Riley hasn't done any planning as usual for the Disney trip this week. So like, where do we actually go? What do you think? What's the priority for the various time slots that we have this weekend at Galaxy's Edge? Cause I know you've put more thought into this than I have.
It's amazing to me when we first planned on going to Galaxy's Edge, we were thinking, okay, we're going to go as close to opening day as we possibly can go.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes.
even if we could go opening day, we wanted to, but that didn't work out. We ended up going 2 weeks later, and I was still thinking, you know what, 2 weeks after opening, we're going to be some of the first people to experience this. We're going to be able to like show people, we're going to be able to break things. I did not expect the overall blanket coverage that we've gotten of Galaxy's Edge just within the past 2 weeks.
Wall to wall, crazy.
Like every inch, every centimeter of that place has been revealed through media coverage. You know, every YouTuber, every Disney blog, every major media outlet almost, has been covering this.
Almost every.
Right. And then we're like, we're only 2 weeks out from opening, and I feel like we're already behind. Like, there's
listen,
no
Aaron,
way.
I've been busting my butt. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
For 5 years.
No, but, but so at this point, I'm like, I'm trying not to see too much because I still want to have that fresh experience. You know, I want to have that experience of like seeing it and things being revealed.
So have you
by
seen
my
any,
eyes.
Any breakdowns or any details on, say, Smuggler's Run or anything else like that? Or you're still pretty spoiler free? Because I've actually seen a good amount.
Yeah, I'm kind of 50-50. The things I'm trying to avoid is I'm trying to avoid the walkthroughs. You know, people walking through the land and videoing. I kind of want to have that experience.
Sure.
As I'm walking through it and coming around a corner and seeing something for the first time and kind of seeing how it all comes together. But as far as like the individual experiences, I don't mind seeing a little bit more detail. I actually have avoided Smuggler's Run though. I kind of want to experience that for the first time myself and not watch any videos of people doing it.
Yeah. Well, I feel like before you hit me with the details of your top choices, now's a great time to do a quick little plug and say you, if you are not, should subscribe. I say subscribe. Should follow our Instagram because a good number of reasons. My girlfriend will be on this trip, and Savannah's a lot better at Instagram than I am. And she now has the power. This is a big step in our relationship. But she has the login for Mouse and Castle. So
wait, you didn't okay this with me?
No, did I? Yeah, I did.
Wait, did I sign off on this?
We'll talk. I've been busting my. so follow our Instagram because we'll be posting a bunch of stuff on there as well. So I figure it's a good. Oh, and I just bought for the podcast and honestly to cover the Disney parks with the trips we have this week or this year rather. I just brought a brand new camera. So I'll be actually taking like nice professional decent photos and video. And we'll have some fun unique ways that we're going to cover it too, so it's not just like everybody else. I promise.
Yeah, it's us. I mean, you can't get us anywhere else.
Well, if they only emailed me back. No, okay. it hit me, Aaron. We have a Friday night spot, of which I'll be about half of. I'll probably be there for an hour or two, and then I'll have to leave and pick Savannah up at the airport. But we'll have a small window of time. I know you'll be there a little bit longer to probably close out the park at midnight. And then we have a Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon spot. I don't know if you're going back. I won't be able to go back Sunday morning, but our two full spots are kind of Saturday morning and afternoon. So what are you thinking as far as prioritization? What must we see and what are we okay with if we miss it?
I'm not okay with missing anything.
It's like,
but no.
We are going to break into the Rise of the Resistance and...
No, I think my number one priority is I really do want to do the lightsaber build. That's the one thing that I've been paying a lot of attention to. I was curious about if it was going to just be kind of a glorified toy or if it's actually going to be like a legit thing. Mm. And everything that I've seen about it just looks really cool. And a lot of I just love the customization, the fact you can pick your own color, all of that stuff. It's like the idea of me being able to pick my own like kyber crystal and put it into a lightsaber and see that lightsaber build like light up. It's just something that I've always thought would be cool to do. So
do you have a date? lightsaber date yet?
So I think from what I hear, that's one of the things that fills up fast.
Ah.
So if you want to do it, you kind of have to go as soon as you get into the land, you got to go straight there. And they actually updated the system before. It was like you got in line.
Yeah.
And people were saying it could be from the time they got in line to the time they finished the experience, people were reporting up to 3 hours.
Oh, geez.
And so I was thinking, man, if you have a 4-hour time slot and 3 of those hours is for just this one thing, it might not be worth it. But luckily they've now already, and one of the reasons why it's good that we did wait 2 weeks is because they've already fixed some systems.
Yeah.
And one of the things they fixed is you can now go to Savvy's workshop and get a return time. So you just go sign in and then they tell you what time to come back. So you don't have to sit and wait for 2 hours.
Yeah.
So that's going to be kind of my top priority to go get that return time. And then I heard Oga's Cantina is kind of the same way. You know, you it's a long wait, but they also have fixed that reservation system and you can go tell them your party size. They tell you to, when to come back. So I think those two things are kind of my priority.
Okay. All right. I'm tracking. So you, so those are the two. Are you going to try to hit one of those two Friday night specifically?
I think Friday night might do the lightsaber build.
Okay.
Because I know not everyone in our group is going to be there yet. And I also know not everyone in our group wants to do the lightsaber build.
Yeah.
So I figured that might be a good time to do it.
That's
me and William,
because
he wants to do it as well. We might take some of our time and do that Friday night. Unless you're going to do the lightsaber build, when we can wait for you.
Oh, you're tempting me.
Because it looks cool.
It's $200, though.
I know it is, but man, when are you going to ever do it again?
I mean, 3 months later in Orlando.
Yeah, but is the thing.
Okay.
This is the thing, because right now, there's the reservation system. You know, we were lucky enough to get reservations.
That's true.
So they only let a limited amount of people in. I hear it's the right amount. People say it doesn't feel too crowded. The lines aren't too long. The wait for Smuggler's Run is actually not bad. Once they get rid of that and kind of just open it to the masses, which is probably going to be how it is when we're there in Orlando.
It's not going to be as fun. Is this when Galaxy's Edge transforms into the horror of Flight of Passage?
Yes, exactly. That's when the 3-hour wait start. But we'll see. I heard that they're implementing another kind of a, you know, return time system moving forward for the entire land.
Yeah.
So they may do the same kind of thing in Orlando. So we might still be okay as far as crowd levels go.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm tempted. I'm very tempted to try to do this lightsaber experience. If not, I might just ask you, one of you guys, to take me along as your date, lightsaber savvy workshop date, because that's the thing. You can bring one person with you, right?
Maybe.
That's what I was reading anyway.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, that's okay. I've definitely read that. So, listen, I'm not saying you guys have to fight over me, but whoever invites me first, I'm saying yes to.
Okay, tell William. I'll bring Savannah. And then there's the droid build, which I've heard really good things about the lightsaber build. I actually haven't heard anyone say anything negative about the lightsaber build. The droid build, I've heard kind of mixed reviews.
Okay.
But it still looks kind of cool. So,
yeah.
And I think William wants to do that too. So we'll see.
Ah, interesting. Yeah, I think for me, I might do, I'm 50-50 right now on the lightsaber build. Honestly, I might, if I can, I might try to tag along just to see it, and then I might save up and actually spend that money on a later trip when budgetary constraints aren't as much. But yeah, I'm with you on that. And then Smuggler's Run, of course, is my big, big go-to. The droid build and the shopping, not as much. Oga's Cantina is a big one. So I guess for my big ones, it's definitely Oga's Cantina, which I think the Cantina, that's got to be the Saturday afternoon one. Because we'll pregame at the end of the time slot for Saturday, and then we'll cross the street back into California Adventure and just have a great time. That's what I'm thinking. Oh man. I think that'll be the order of prayer. I like that. Like I say, we'll definitely be covering it across our social media, and I'll have my nice camera, and I'll be bringing our little Zoom recorder and documenting some of the experience along the way as we go. So that'll be fun too. So make sure that'll be the episode next week. And of course, we'll post an update on our newsletter next week as well with a bunch of the pictures and all that good stuff. So, hey, let's
get... Do you have any collectibles from Galaxy's Edge that you're hoping to get?
I don't.
If you don't get the lightsaber.
But my girlfriend does. Savannah wants the shoulder... I don't even know if this is a thing or if she made it up. The pork that sits on your shoulder? Is that?
Oh, yeah.
It's not just the salacious crumb. It's an actual pork that sits on your shoulder?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a thing. So she wants that. So I think that's the thing that she's going to get. Maybe I'll be like, sweetie, you get the Porygon. I'll get the lightsaber, right? It's even. It's fair, right?
It's fair. One's $20, one's $200.
But that's definitely a go-to for her because she loved the... So we recently finished watching through all the Star Wars movies, and she's at a separate training, so she finished the saga with The Last Jedi. This is not the best of radio, but for all of you guys listening at home, just that theater of the mind, I'm going to show Aaron a screenshot of a Snapchat she sent me of a live reaction to the end of The Last Jedi. that was...
I can see the picture, but I can't read the text.
It says live reactions.
Okay. Nice.
Is he alive? Does he come back? Is it a ghost? Is it like a thing? I don't... It was kind of funny. But she did love the Porgs from The Last Jedi. I know you're...
Yeah, I'm coming around on the Porgs. I was a big Porg critic leading up to that movie and even after seeing the movie. But now after, like, that's all gone and passed and now it's just about the merchandising, like, they're great. It's a great merchandise piece for sure.
They are
adorable.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And now, see, for those of you that can't see what I'm seeing, Riley has this video on now, and he's making me look at him play with a plush Porg.
Hi,
definitely
Aaron.
Not good radio.
You can imagine. Hey, that's a decent, right? Right?
That's actually a really good Porg call.
I've never even tried.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I kind of like the little shoulder Porg, too. Like, I actually might grab one of those myself.
Yeah?
Me and Savannah can both have... shoulder Porgs as we walk around Galaxy's Edge in our Disney bounding.
She's really come full circle because we're also Disney bounding, which brings us to the center of probably the greatest conflict of our friendship, at least in the last day.
Can't wear the same thing as me.
I bought the same backpack as Aaron accidentally on Amazon. Hey, great.
The
great
problem
minds.
Is... like, if you're going to Amazon, the same thing happened with William.
Yeah.
If you're going to Amazon to look for Star Wars-ish clothes,
There's
only so many options, and everyone's going to get the same results.
Yeah.
So if I type in Poe Dameron shirt or something like that, it's the same shirt William's going to find when he types in Star Wars shirt or Finn shirt or Han Solo shirt. It's the same shirt. So
yeah.
So yeah.
But,
so there's
but I'm just saying I'm wearing different pants and boots and shirt, so if we have the same kind of burlap, small... backpack, it's acceptable, right?
No, because that's because the thing that makes your outfit is the accessories. That's my accessory. You can't have the same accessory as me. It's like showing up to a party and you're wearing the same outfit.
Like, we're having this conversation out loud. The accessory for our Disney bounding.
I'm a conscious person, Riley.
I posted on our Instagram story a side-by-side of our first Disneyland trip that we both went on and our most recent one. And one of the two of us, I'm not going to say who, has definitely upgraded in their personal style.
You're talking about you not wearing the baggy jeans anymore?
No, I'm talking about you. Although I guess I wasn't wearing baggy jeans in the...
That comment in our Instagram story, and I was kind of confused. I'm literally just wearing a t-shirt, the same kind of t-shirts I always wear.
Yeah, but you have a sweet haircut and shades in the modern
one. Is it just
one?
The combo of like the sunglasses?
We just had
hair?
This conversation about accessories, Aaron. It's the shades.
It's the shades. Okay.
oh gosh. But I guess I can't. I got. Hey, let me throw it out. It's gone. But see, it's fine. Look what you did to me. Look what you do to me, man.
Get your own bag.
I got a little kind of olive green camera bag.
That works. Yeah, as long as it's different than mine.
Well, you know, relationships are about compromise. So
that's true.
I'll not wear my bag. You can wear your bag, and I'll bring the camera bag. All right. Anyway, this is getting awkward.
We got to start talking about some more Disney.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Cleanse the palate. Here we go. for it. Devil Horse.
Elsa, the past is not what it seems. You must find the truth. Go north, across the enchanted lands, and into the unknown. But be careful. We have always feared Elsa's powers were too much for this world. Now we must hope.
I won't let anything happen to her.
This November, Frozen 2.
I think Mouse and Castle is going to become the show where Aaron just goes back on all of his opinions eventually. Because like when they first announced that there was gonna be a Frozen 2, I was like, why? Like, we don't need another story. Like,
well, and that's the beautiful thing about this podcast. There's audio of it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's out there. But now these trailers, both of them, the two that they've released, I'm like completely sold on this. Like, yeah, they have flipped the script on like what you would expect from, you know, from a typical Disney princess movie. And they could have really just, you know, cashed in on Elsa and Anna and Olaf and just done another like really weak story. But man, it looks like they really put time and effort into this.
Are you talking about Olaf's Frozen Adventure?
Yeah, like for Olaf's Frozen Adventure.
I actually,
is that what it was called?
Yeah,
the Christmas one.
Yeah, I actually, should I say this? I liked it. I actually liked it.
It was, and that's, I've heard other people say that too. Like for what it is,
it was the opening number. It was like look at everyone, and we're something here. I feel the Christmas spirit. It's great.
They don't realize we planned a party as a big surprise.
So you're saying you're afraid that's what it was going to be?
Yes, I thought that's what we were going to get, like a two-hour version of that, and I didn't want that. No. So I'm glad to see that they're leaning into the fantasy elements of it, and it seems like they're going to be kind of playing with the lore of this world that I wasn't expecting. It seems like there's a lot more going on outside of just Arendelle.
Yes, the world is expanding a lot, and it's basically, I don't know, it's Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, epic fantasy meets Frozen, and I'm kind of hyped about that. Let's go through it bit by bit here and just kind of give our breakdown of the trailer itself. I'm sure you've seen it a gajillion times. We'll link, we're going to do it. It's from this piece in Screen Rant. We'll have a link in our show notes if you want to follow along. But that first sequence is the one that we remember from the first trailer. Elsa's training ? Just the ocean is her enemy, I guess.
Ocean is a friend of mine. Is not a friend of mine.
But so she basically was using her ice powers again. But this time we see her plunge into the depths of the freezing cold ocean, which is like a personal nightmare of mine, by the way. I do not want that. She plunges into the depths of the water and goes splash. And the music is like this suspenseful thing. And I'm like, she's about to drown, people. Please.
Well, I mean, she's, the cold never bothers her. So if anyone can survive that, it's her, right?
That's true. And that's, well, as I texted you earlier, that's where we get to the sea bubble demon horse.
Yeah, the horse is interesting.
And what's funny
what
is,
what does it mean?
Well, it's a magical creature named Nock, a horse spirit that manifests through water. And we see Elsa encounter the horse in her attempt to cross the stormy sea when it goes wrong, and she plunges beneath the waves. And the Screen Rant writer says, the horse doesn't appear to be malevolent. I beg to differ. The horse looks quite malevolent to me, sir. He has the devil eyes. I'm scared.
He looks like he's questioning why she's there. He's kind of like, what are you doing here? And then he kind of goes away. It's not like he's there to help her. at least initially.
No. And that's where we get the voiceover. It's the chief troll. I think Paplu was his name. No, wait, that's the thing. I don't know what the chief troll's name is, but he does the voiceover. Trolls, by the way, my least favorite sequence in the original Frozen.
I agree. And when I saw all the troll rocks rolling in this trailer, I was like, oh.
Your eyes were rolling right along with them.
But they seem to play a important role, though, because they're kind of giving the backstory and setting them on their mission.
Yes.
So they're going to play a good role. They probably won't be in it that much. It'll
well,
be
and
fine.
That's where he alludes to there's a secret in Elsa's past, which, again, we know the sort of prologue that in the first movie that chronicles the death of the parents. And
speculation time.
Yeah, I know, right?
What does it mean? Because her parents, I haven't read this article that you're going, so maybe they talked about this. But her parents did die in the ocean.
In the ocean, true.
And there's now this spirit ocean horse.
Yes,
and
there is.
The past isn't what it seems. No. So are her parents still alive? Is that where she's headed to discover
that?
Or maybe one of her parents is still alive.
And and it'll be her dad because it's a Disney movie.
They are well aware of the criticisms of them doing that stuff that they'll probably try to not do it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
But it basically the idea there's the mysteries behind Elsa's powers and how exactly she got them and the exact role that her parents may have had. Interesting thing on there's a shot of the Northern Lights here and we see Pabble. I was guessing and I said Paplu.
Close.
Pabble, the chief troll. I don't know why that. Anyway, where it's accompanied with images of Elsa's childhood, we get the sort of flashback, and one shot is her mother staring at the Northern Lights. Now, the songwriters, the married couple, Kristen and Robert Lopez, they told Variety that after Frozen 2, quote, "We know the parents a lot better," indicating that they play an important role in the sequel. Well, that makes sense. They directly allude to it in the trailer. So there may, and again, this is the speculation, then maybe Elsa's powers didn't just like happen upon her and her parents were like, whoa, I guess what, she's a witch. Maybe it is hereditary.
Or maybe her parents did something or made a deal with somebody that caused her to have these powers. Unexpected consequences.
I'm guessing there's a plot twist somewhere in Act 2.
Yeah, I'm liking the idea that maybe one of her parents also has powers, and we're going to discover that. So yeah,
you know who
we'll
I
see.
Bet knows it, knows what's going on. Pabble.
Who? Pablo.
Pablo. He knows everything.
Pablo does. Yeah.
Elsa, the crossover people who listen to the Star Wars Report and this podcast know so many more references on this show, and it makes me kind of happy. We also see her vision of horses and giants in sort of the form of this vision. It's kind of hard to make out, but basically Elsa's overjoyed to see them and they leap around her, and Nock is serving like the spirit, like a spirit guide kind of role. And we get to see that. Oh, and we get to see Elsa's castle.
From a distance, yes.
Which, I mean, it's like the iconic song, the iconic moment of the first film. So I'd be surprised if we didn't.
It's a bit more colorful, I feel like, than it was in the original movie.
Well, and it looks like here they're in their, it's way off in the distance. It's what looks like Sven and Olaf and Elsa and Anna off on their journey to whatever these enchanted lands are. Very Fellowship of the Ring. Like, I could almost hear Howard Shore's music swelling as, like, a big helicopter camera shot swoops around Sven. That'd be kind of... It just has that look. And then we get to the Enchanted Lands, which we've seen a bit more, and also that's kind of visually what they're representing in the marketing when they have the kind of fall leaves blowing across the Frozen logo. That's directly from this this northern area that's known as the Enchanted Lands. And according to Pabble, they have to travel through this land. And evidently, this is going to kind of impact the overall Frozen lore. Just as there are some people gifted in magic, it implies that some places are characterized by it as well. And later scenes imply that giants live in the Enchanted Lands. Which is interesting, Aaron, because like the idea of the mythology behind giants and the idea of an enchanted land to the north, quite literally, dipping back into my childhood favorite books, the Chronicles of Narnia, in the Silver Chair, when they're journeying north, the characters, including Jill, stumble across a clan of giants in the north. So again, like C.S. Lewis vibes
here. I didn't see that as a giant more than, I mean, it's definitely a giant thing, but it looked like some kind of a stone mountain type creature.
Yeah,
and not necessarily like a, you know, blood and bones giant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, like I said before, it's kind of leaning into the fantasy elements. And when you watch the original Frozen movie, you kind of get the sense that the people, the general population, are pretty normal people. And what Elsa is a major outlier and freaks everybody out, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And beyond Elsa, you know, you have the trolls that are a bit more magical, but they're kind of hidden. Most people don't know they're out there. So it's not like this accepted thing that like, oh yeah, there's like trolls, there's giants, there's rock monsters, there's magic. Like it seemed like that's on the down low. But this movie, it seems like maybe, you know, because they're going far enough away and going north.
Yeah, the Enchanted Land.
More enchanted.
We see evidence of that magic in the forests where we see this sort of swirling magical flares across the trees. It scatters like a crowd of people. It's hard to kind of see the exact detail, but there's like some, it almost looks like a magical forest fire. Like perhaps this area is hostile. There's this shot of Kristoff saving Anna from something. Anna. I went very American there. Sorry. Kristoff saving Anna. She's in
Anna.
She's in peril as it falls on Kristoff and Sven to come to the rescue.
Kristoff and Sven.
Sven, it's boy, that froze. All right, I should stop. This is quickly turning into the Cars podcast. It's like, anyway, so again, it's not really enough to know, but again, this northern land presents a danger of some kind. And then we cut to a shot of probably one of the more powerful displays of magic that Elsa's done. She's basically chasing out like a will-o'-the-wisp up to this like icy pinnacle and generates a giant. The only comparison I can think of, because I'm a Star Wars nerd, is the planet, a planetarium like thing that Yoda displays to the younglings in episode 2. But we just see these ice crystal runes set against the
like
dark
floating
night.
In the sky.
Yeah.
Now,
the visual from the kind of runes, and honestly the visuals of a lot of the Frozen genre come from Norse tradition and Norse mythology and religion. And so this kind of follows with that, the idea of these runes that we see. And that continues as we see what kind of looks like the, Aaron, I blanked on the name, but the stones in England.
Stonehenge,
thank you. I was just about to say Outlander.
it kind of has some like similarities to what different visuals you would see in Brave, too, with kind of that Celtic
influence. Oh, yeah, that's
influence.
True.
Which is kind of where I went when I saw that scene with the rocks and, you know, kind of the runes and stuff. I was like, oh, this is starting to feel very Celtic. And I mean, I'm sure there's some crossover between Norse and Celtic mythology. So that's probably why you see the similarities.
Yeah. I'm trying to, It's interesting because, like, Stonehenge, if I remember right, I don't know if it's known exactly who built them, but they're prehistoric. And whoever built the Stonehenge would have had to have traveled across the Mediterranean before reaching Britain. So they don't really know exactly. Researchers have tried to, and I found this is not me just off the top of my head. According to the BBC, there's Neolithic human remains across Britain of, like, a people that were alive before the Britons. So, and that could very well be Norse. But again, that sort of visual represents Norse tradition, Norse mythology, and it carries with these rune stones that we see with this brief shot of Elsa's quest as they're approaching these rune stones that look kind of like Stonehenge as they kind of enter into a fog. Interesting. And we get to, I guess, the last couple shots here. There's some kind of portal at the center of the rune stones, shimmering with light. Again, this could be something to do with Elsa's ice magic. And again, it's just like, it's basically still a teaser. We don't really know what this means or where it's going or how it relates to her parents, but I'm sure it does in some way. And then we get to kind of what centers the marketing of the film, at least, and probably what's going to be at the center of the film, which is, again, the sisters' relationship, because the trailer ends with Anna's promise. And I forget the exact quote. She's like, yeah, I'll make sure nothing happens to you. I don't know if it, you know, it's a sweet promise. It's funny that the one who has no power is the one who's making the promise to keep harm from the person with power. But again, that's a very Disney-esque and really mythic storytelling, which is the way we think of power and who's powerful may not be true. You just go to Lord of the Rings and think of, like, the hobbits as the ones who truly seal the fate of the One Ring. In the same way, I could see this film really showcasing how Anna has her own strength that, while not magical, is every bit as strong and maybe stronger than Elsa's, and they'll need to depend on each other to face whatever they face at the end of the film.
Very, very astute of you.
Mm. Well, and I said it with just enough vague terms to where I can probably almost certainly be right. So the predictions happen. Oh, and we get that, what, the outline of the stone giant looking thing at the end.
Yes.
You thinking related to the snow monster, or purely rock monster, or
It seems like a rock monster type thing. I wouldn't classify it as a giant. And maybe the thing is, we haven't been introduced to any kind of antagonist yet. We don't know what they're facing. Are there other people out there that have similar powers to Elsa, but they can manipulate other elements? You know, maybe there is somebody out there that can manipulate rocks or whatever, so they can control and create a monster, kind of like Elsa did with Marshmallow.
Yeah, with Marshmallow.
I just put a link in the chat there.
Okay.
From
the Wisps from Pixar. Let's take a look at this here. After I get through with the Disney World ad, they're like, you can't go to land. You gotta go to... Okay, here we go. Oh, yeah, this is the scene where Merida's racing through the woods.
And she comes upon the... Skip ahead a bit, I think, but she comes ahead. She basically comes upon the exact same type of ring of stones.
There it is, right there.
And that's kind of what popped into my head when I saw that scene. I was like, oh, brave.
Yeah, no, looking right at it, and it looks very similar.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the wisps that are the sort of Celtic spirits that lead her along her way. I think because. Disney certainly treads in the realm of magical, but they definitely are going that extra step into high fantasy, which I'm definitely all on board with. I'm not on board with, or what I don't know. Let's find out. Onward.
Onward.
You brought it up at the beginning of the show, and now it's bothering me that I haven't seen it. I feel like a bad Disney fan So I'm going to rectify that right now. And you guys will hear my... Wait, where's my webcam? I should be filming this. Hang on, this is the first one.
Go live on Instagram.
I'll go live on Instagram. I'll be like, whoa! What? No! I'll stop. I'll actually watch this. Do you like my reaction video? okay. I'm being a little salty on this episode. Sorry, guys. Okay.
Down! Oh, sorry, I didn't get a chance to walk her. Oh, bad dragon. Back to your lair.
Come, dear brother. Our destiny awaits.
Okay, I'm coming.
I see you've brought sustenance for our adventure.
No, it's garbage for the trash can, and you left the lid off.
Oh, shoot. Get out of here.
Shoot, get out. Oh.
Ugh, unicorns.
We're going on a grand and glorious quest.
It's not a quest. It's just a really fast and strange errand.
It's totally a quest.
So you got Star-Lord and Spider-Man there in the key roles.
So what do you think?
It's cute. I'm intrigued. It's almost like they took straight fantasy from Frozen 2, and I was like, oh, look at that. They see the mermaids at the beginning and the Pegasus, and like, oh, high fantasy again from Pixar. And then you see the plane, and you're like, oh, okay, I get the bit. I immediately got the bit. It'll be interesting to see. But I'm intrigued. I'm definitely. What were the last few Pixar movies that came out? It was like, obviously Toy Story 4, Coco. That's true. Was great.
My only thing is have you seen the Will Smith movie called Bright?
I have not.
Okay, the net.
Nope. Sorry, you broke up there for a
second. Universally panned.
Yeah. Okay.
But it has a very similar premise.
Yeah.
Kind of this fantasy world that has become very, you know, very much like our world, but has like this history of kind of more magic and stuff. So. So I mean it's similar. I'll be curious to see what they do with it. I like the talent that they got to do the voices. But just that trailer alone doesn't quite have me on board yet. But we'll, you know, obviously, like I said, you know, I tend to go back on my initial reactions to things. So
yeah, Pixar's record is pretty flawless. With the exception of the car sequels. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
But,
even the Pixar movies that haven't been as popular or one I still liked, like...
I'm looking at this list. The one I never saw was The Good Dinosaur.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. That one was kind of less liked and not as critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
And didn't do as well, but I actually really liked that movie. So, yeah, they don't have that many misses for me, although, like you said, some of the Cars sequels weren't my favorite. And the last Incredibles movie was okay, but I thought I was pretty thrilled with it.
Really, I liked it probably almost as much, not quite as much as the original, but Finding Dory was really good. Coco was by far the best stuff they've done in the last few years, if you ask me.
I like the movies where they do something that's super original that you just never would have thought of.
Inside Out being a good example.
Inside Out, Up. You know, even Coco, like, I feel like that's where Pixar shines.
Yeah.
You know, Incredibles was the original one I really liked, but I just felt like the sequel is just kind of more of the same.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I think, I don't know. I definitely, of the films coming out, dealing with high fantasy, I think Frozen looks a bit better.
Yeah. I mean, I can't wait after seeing these trailers for Frozen. I'm very excited about those movies or about this movie.
Yeah. So,
and that comes out November, you said?
Yes. Okay. November.
So it's right 11th. Around when we're going to Disney World.
Actually, that's a good point. It is.
It's probably a little later though.
Yeah. I think it's like, the weekend, after. So Aaron, I think on that note, we're going to have, before we wrap up one last time, when it comes to, I'm going to circle back one more time for Frozen, just because when you see the high fantasy, do you think, is there room for it still to be kind of cute and funny? Because like there, it was the first Frozen is definitely kind of cute and funny, and we haven't really seen any of that in the trailers.
I think that what they're trying to do is working, in that they're trying to show you, hey, we're taking the story to the next level.
Yeah.
And, but I think there's still gonna be plenty of the funny, cute stuff. I think there's gonna be plenty of Olaf, plenty of Sven, all of that stuff to expect. That's the brand.
But
that's,
I think
what
they
sells Frozen. So there's gonna be a nice balance, I'm imagining, between, you know, kind of the high fantasy action adventure and then the Disney comedy.
Yeah. I think you're right, that is kind of what sells it, but I think they are kind of backing off from the not so great reactions to the Olaf's Frozen Adventure. Cause like there was some decent amount of criticism for that. And granted, it is kind of lighthearted and silly. I like the music, but I can see where it wasn't really about like character development. It was about cuteness.
So. Well, and speaking of music, like, because Frozen is arguably strong because of its soundtrack.
Yeah.
More so than the story, that, and we haven't, you know, we haven't seen anything about the songs or music or anything like that. So I mean,
just
there's
gonna
be a
epic,
whole.
Well, we're listening to it now. The epic remix. Straight from the opening.
Right.
That
which sounds great, but you know, that's something we've already heard. I'm saying like you know, the new songs they're gonna have. You know, we really don't know what to expect with that. So that's just even more to be excited about. We're going to get a whole new soundtrack with new songs and all of that. And how does that fit in? How does a musical fit in with this new tone?
Yeah, we'll see. We will see this November. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode of the Mouse and Castle podcast. Make sure you stay in touch between shows. Subscribe to the newsletter, bit.ly/mouseandcastle, bit.ly/mouseandcastle. And you can subscribe to our newsletter. And of course, especially as we're heading to Disney this weekend and chronicling our journey around Galaxy's Edge, follow our Instagram @mouseandcastle. Lots of pictures we'll add to our story there, of course, and stay in touch right there. But until next time, may your world and your heart thaw from frozen magic. C-.
You gotta let me just start doing some of these outs, man.
Well, so occasionally I have a hit. Occasionally.
I don't know that you've had a hit. You've had a couple of passable ones.
Ow! It's kind of true. That's fair. I feel like a take two. May your love of family be like the sisterly love of Anna and Elsa. How's that? Better? No? I said no? Oh, okay. All right. It'd be a... May your days be as bright as the hair upon Elsa's head.
What?
May you never stop believing you cannot be bothered by cold either. Nope. Still not. Nope. Nothing. Aaron, you ready? You want to go? Hit me. Three, nope. Three, two, nope. One.
Done.
Oh, now he's chickening out. I'm telling you, it's hard. I'm going to have another sip of rum.
Oh, there we go. That's the explanation.
All right, that's it. It's not getting better. I'm not doing it again. I'm stopping the recorder. How long was this show? Ooh, hang on.